Philadelphia, Philadelphia, are you ready? City of brotherly love, home of smoking Joe Frazier. Come on. It's about that time. FetLifeStation.com. Philly Fridays, baby. Come on.
Problem is, you can't hear since we're not properly dressed. Like, our money ain't green. Just want a couple of beers.
Two beers, that's it.
That's it, we'll be on our way. You ain't looking for trouble.
Spoke like a gentleman. You know, I appreciate it.
All right.
You got some booze down here. Nice cold one. Get it some nice cold food. Come on. Two over here. One more beer. All right, brother. Quiet bay. Toast. Who are you? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy
Ghost. Oh, you were capping.
That wasn't very nice. Now he's got to leave.
I'll tell you when to fucking leave, all right? Get the fuck out.
Watch the bikes.
Now you scare me. I will never forget the look on their faces. All eight of them. Their faces dropped. All their courage and strength was drained right from their bodies. They had a reputation for breaking up bars. But they knew that instant they made a fatal mistake. This time they walked into the wrong bar.
Now you're online with my brother Carl Tone Jones. Welcome to Office Hours. Philly Fridays in the house. Shout out to all the family listening to Philly Fridays. Fet Life Station. FetLifeStation.com. And I'd like to, you know, give a special acknowledgement to our family up in New York, our sister city. And the family at Mecca Evans College, we appreciate you. It is current or at the top of the hour right now. We're at the top of the hour. Wow. We're actually at the top of the hour. And it's a pretty humid night out here in Philly, man. 70 degrees. But it's humid, man. It's sticky. So hopefully all y'all got something nice cool to drink. Hope y'all sitting in front of the fan letting that breeze bristle through. Or you're out somewhere. But you took time out of your busy schedule in your busy life to hang with your dear brothers. For that, I am greatly appreciative. Yeah, it's always something going on in the news, right? And I've been paying attention to the political landscape. You know, I have a background in history, social studies. I have 2 degrees in social studies one bachelor's, one master's. And I've actually been teaching history for over 20 years. So when it comes to a lot of things going on, I pay attention to the party politics, international affairs, and things that are going to affect us far beyond the physical scope of things that we struggle to see. And, you know, Hunter Biden's been in the news a lot lately. And I've been kind of falling back because I watched the tides and the turns, and I sort of look at the things that are trending. One of the things that seem to be trending is the fact that we have a former president who seems to be dealing with criminal cases in like damn near every state in America, but yet still the momentum behind him seems to have made him the Teflon Don. Get it? Teflon Don, Donald Trump. Yeah. Pun intended. And how the current president, amid the current economic crisis that people are going through right now, the uneasiness that people are dealing with in the real world, not who they pretend to be on social media, but who they pretend to be, you know, and times are hard. And there's no end in sight for what we're currently dealing with, man. And I need to press upon that because we need to prepare for all of the worst things you've heard of historical situations and landscapes. We need to be prepared. And I'm watching it because watching the landscape, because globally speaking, there are riots in countries all throughout the world. You know, Africa is a lot of states in Africa are expelling their colonial European rulers. And so that's going to come up with some strife internationally. We already know that the war, Russia and Ukraine, is about to hit a year with no end in sight. We also know that all of these things globally are affecting the American economy, on top of the fact that America spent a lot of money during the pandemic that it really didn't have in its coffers. So you start to see the interest rates go up with the Federal Reserve, and you start to see a lot of random looting, and that's typically the first sign of the collapse of the community, because there's no event going on right now, and throughout Philadelphia, you know, at any time, riot can break out, and that's when you know things are really getting tested. So I always tell people, make sure you can protect yourself and your families. Always have provisions and extra provisions in case, you know, there's a run on the stores. You know, I mean, something as simple as toilet paper would drive this society into a panic. That's how fragile it is. You know, it's funny because, you know, and I'm going to get to this part, and then I'm going to jump back to Joe Biden. But the, you know, I wrote a book in 2020 and published it in 2021. The title of the book was 2020 Through the Eyes of a Social Media Revolutionary. And it wasn't really a hard book to write because the book wrote itself. I basically captured some of the moments that I had placed on social media throughout 2020. Because I knew that 2020 would be one of those years, you know, where we would have to remember it. And I also knew the fragile mindset of most people would try hard to forget the harsh times and the fear of living in that particular state. I mean, when you really think about it, the entire world shut down for a period of time. about 3 months. Felt like forever. But it was the first time in human history that the entire planet was on lockdown. The first time. Creating scenarios that were steeped in panic and anxiety. And some legitimate fears, because people lost their lives. And I don't ever want that to be swept aside, because I do value the lives of human beings. And, you know, I can recall being one of those few brave souls in the streets during the pandemic. And I would transport food from different places. Shout out to the North Philly Peace Park for gathering food and items that they had received from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. I want to also, you know, shout out my good brother Arnett Woodall for, you know, having care packages and allowing me to distribute them to friends and family. And I'll never forget the time when I had to go to my aunt's house. She's my mother's oldest sister. And, you know, the fear and intrepidation in her, where I had to literally leave food on her doorstep as she was just staring at me through her screen door. And the tears that were streaming down her face because of how afraid she was to open her door. And, you know, to reach out to her oldest nephew. So, you know, I think about times like that. And I wrote that book because I didn't want us to forget about that. I didn't want us to forget about how even during that time, black people were being killed and harassed around the country. You had George Floyd uprisings and riots. Then you had the overtaking of those particular movements by the very forces and systems and structures that actually maintain a system of racism, white supremacy, oppression, and chaos and disorder over the masses. Painting signs like Black Lives Matter on streets and, you know, taking the lead at your franchise football teams, basketball teams, baseball teams, all putting out messages. And it's something to consider if you think about, you know, the police actually marching along with people who are protesting the police terrorism and brutality that takes place in Black America. So, and I say that to say, we need to really understand what took place 3 years ago, because so many of us worked hard to get it. So that's why I wrote the book. And it was interesting because I was actually sharing the book with some people at, you know, at the workplace, at the college, and just explaining to them the motivation for the book. So, but I want to get that back to those tough times, because right now we're facing a situation, politically speaking, where there's a possible impeachment of your current U.S. president based on the actions of his son. And supposedly, allegedly, the president's involvement in some of those situations with his son. So then, you know, I paid attention to that, and I'm thinking to myself, this might be the out the Democrats needed, because there's no way in hell Joe Biden will win an election against Donald Trump. And as of right now, they're throwing everything at Donald Trump but the kitchen sink. And make no mistake, I'm no fan of either political candidate. None of the people running for president represent me. But I do recognize the comedy, sad tragedy, and what has become a shit show of a political office that used to have some esteem around the world. And I'm also aware of the fallout. And it's something that we need to pay attention to. Because as things get worse, you know, you just never know. They're talking about a possible bank holiday. If you're not familiar with what a bank holiday is, imagine being at the grocery store, grocery market, and you have all your food at the counter on a conveyor belt, and when it's time for you to swipe, you get no response because your bank has shut off all access digitally to your money. And imagine that happening at every counter in the supermarket. You're talking about mayhem, mischief. You're talking about a situation where people will possibly, you know, all it takes about 3 days for a society to fall apart. Just 3 years ago, the bombing of ATM machines shut down pharmacies. People couldn't get their medicine. Elderly people couldn't get their medicine that was necessary to extend their lives. People who have chronic health conditions who depend on the medical industry were shoved out to find their medication. We don't seem to think about those things, and we seem to take it for granted that we were able to bounce back from that. But something very real and similar can be coming down the pike. And just be prepared. If you don't have a bug out bag, understand what a bug out bag is. You need to do some research. There are plenty of videos on YouTube telling you what you need to do step by step to prepare one. Ways to start a fire without matches. You know, especially up here in the Northeast where, you know, it gets cold. And not only does it get cold, but sometimes it gets a little wet. And if you're down in places where humidity is high like it is today, it's going to be hard to put two pieces of wood together and create a spark on ember. So then you need to have something. You need to know how to get ignition sources from tree sap. And how to utilize something as simple as the lint that comes from your clothes in the dryer and the wash. Highly flammable material. They call that tinder. I used to actually teach those survival classes a little bit because I saw the need for us to learn. How to purify water. How many drops of bleach do you need to put in a gallon of well water or a gallon of water that you see in the stream? How long do you need to wait for the purification process to take place? How to boil water in a plastic bag or plastic bottle? All these are necessary skills in order to survive. How to hunt for your own food. That's something I need to do better at. But I don't know about your boy eating squirrels. But stay on top of the family. And pay attention to what's going on, because things that happen politically affect you. And don't just depend on the major media networks to give you the full take, because they all are what's paid for. They're basically the tail wagging the dog at this particular point. So one of the things that, you know, I want to get into also is protect your health. You know, I want to send some prayers and well wishes to our good brother from the hip-hop group, the rap group, Bone Thugs Harmony, Crazy Bone, for making a recovery. He was recently in a hospital, and many people thought that he had expired. So I'm glad that the brother seems to be, you know, on the up and up. He went at 8 days of, you know, blood pouring out of his lungs. And, you know, for those who don't know, he suffered from a condition called sarcoidosis. And I'm very familiar about this particular condition because it's the condition, my brother suffered from sarcoidosis before he passed away in 2009 from complications from sarcoidosis. He was literally at the hospital waiting for a bump to, you know, to present herself because she was on the lung donor list. And unfortunately, she succumbed to pneumonia and sarcoidosis, immunodeficiency disorder as well. So she didn't have the immune system to fight off, you know, the sickness that she contracted while in the hospital. Prior to that, I had done extensive research because I didn't like the answers that the doctors were giving her prior to the miracle worker of a doctor, Dr. Herbert Patrick, who is one of the top pulmonary doctors in the city of Philadelphia. You know, he and I worked so well together because prior to that, he was kicked out of his practice for, and I'm not going to get into why, but it was basically he was healing clients. You know, the medical field is really funny about people who heal their patients. But he was a real healer. But in addition to that, the research that I had done finds the different types of medical trials that were taking place in Europe and Australia and all the different things that worked over there, the homeopathic remedies, you know, to help extend her life another 5 years. So I'm real familiar with that particular disorder. It's the same one that took out NFL great legend Reggie White. Also, our dear brother, one of the kings of comedy, one of the funniest comedians I've ever seen, ever. One of the most talented comedians, rather. He's a great actor as well. Bernie Mac. And legendary Hall of Fame boxer, father of another legendary boxer who soon will be in the Hall of Fame if he's not already. now the name is passing me by, but I'll get to him then. But this is how bad it is sometimes when you train the thought on something else and then you lose track. But y'all know what I'm talking about, you know. And apparently his son, you know, one of the greatest fighters of all time. I'm looking punch at myself right now, but I remember his name. I can see his face. But he's also suffering, you know, from sarcoidosis. It sort of happens in the right place because it's a scarring tissue sort of disorder. You lose the elasticity of those said organs, whether it's the kidneys, your lungs, for some people it's the skin, your heart, you know, some people it happens in their eyes, people blind. It's just, it's variable. It happens in a, it's a predominant disorder that affects predominantly the black community. So, I digress. The name will come to me watching the show. But yeah, so it's been an interesting week. It's always an interesting week when I pull up, right? We've been in some interesting times. And one of the things that I want to shout out to is my good brother, Joseph Ward, who has a YouTube channel by the name On the Shoulders of Giants. And he also has a book series on the Shoulders of Giants where he has different editions focusing on prominent black figures and the Americas, North America, South America, Central America, and the Caribbean. He has a book series that if you have children and they need to learn about historic black figures, holler at my brother, Joseph Ward. And I'm grateful for this brother because he invited me to the reaction program, the reaction show that he does, that he presents every Friday. And I was just recently watching one we did with our good brother, Roddy Williams, who had, Roddy Smith. I apologize for that, Tupac. And we were reviewing one of Rodney's videos, and it was a video that spoke to the fact that a 12-year-old boy in Rodney's class. Rodney's a middle school teacher out of Indiana, and this child basically told him that there's no place in the black community for men. That if you took a single mother in a whole state, a single mother, and put them in one state, and then you had a two-parent, a state that comprised of two-parent households right next to them, this young man said the state with the single parents, the single mothers, would perform just as well and produce similar, if not better, results because they're stronger because they're women. And you have a 12-year-old boy who literally will be 18, legally considered grown, legally considered a man. And just 6 years away from now, he himself has predicted that he will not have any value in his own community. I want y'all to sit on that for a minute, because when I start talking about the gynocracy, when I start talking about the effects this has on young black males, things of that nature, the first thing you do is clutch your pearls, start snatching dreams from the air, and start screaming about how I hate black women. I'm looking at the damage of a gynocratic society and what that means for the entirety of the society. Do y'all know that in Chicago there's an 11-year-old girl who was recently beaten up? There was a back celebration, and this 11-year-old girl was walking her dog. Apparently, the dog got too close to these women, and the women really beat this girl up, broke a bottle, beer bottle, and scarred her face up. This little girl had like 3 surgeries. Just had like a month ago. Since then, the girl's mother stated that since she's been pursuing this and pressing charges, that a young black male who lived with these two women has been harassing them at gunpoint. I mentioned this story not just due to the brutality that this little girl faced, but the simple fact that the people who were predatorial towards this little girl still felt empowered and emboldened to continue to assault them. And the one thing that's missing from this particular situation is a man. Because when you have men, and you don't, and you have, when the society where they have not told their men that they're not needed and have not broadcast that to the world, men, boys recognize the men. Boys think twice about the way they're going to address the man. That man is a shield. That's what the protection means. That man prevents a lot of pain. And it's ironic because in a society where it says that black men are unnecessary, even cowardly black males take note of that. And then you're expecting some random man to risk his life in a random situation to protect a random woman and her children. Because the man that gave her that child is nowhere to be found. And I might want to assume why he's not there. It could have been that he was just a flat, dead beat. Or it could have been something as simple as, he basically, he was told not to be. I don't know. But we're going to get to why that's more common now than at any other time. And I really want to focus on this because there's something that is greatly misused, something that's rarely stated or pointed out, But I want y'all to listen to this video as to why a lot of these men aren't there. Hold tight. This is coming up. And it was a panel, I think, Yala Van Zandt had put together. So I want y'all to listen to this. I'm a pause the music for a second because I want y'all to hear this.
Nathaniel. Anna. How many children?
28.
How many women?
16.
Terrence.
Four.
Children. With?
Two different women.
Yeah. Ryan?
Almost five children.
Four. Almost five. Exactly. Talk to me about an almost five.
I have another baby due November 22nd.
So four children.
Four children.
How many mothers?
Four different women.
Four different women. And you got a baby on the way. Okay. And John?
Six baby mothers, 11 children.
11 children. And Jumani?
I have six children with four different women.
Four different women.
Yes, ma'am.
Now here's what I want us to get. These men, collectively, have 87 children. That includes Jay.
Wow.
With 50 different women. That is 137 people who are impacted by choices and decisions that you've made. No heed, no judgment. I got some stats for you. Children who come from fatherless homes. And I say fatherless because six men, 87 kids, even if you're there, there are pieces that are going to be missing. Would that be accurate?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're not doing the best you can. I'm not saying that you don't want to be there. But at this point now, we have to look at the children's experience. Children from fatherless homes in this country, five times more likely to commit suicide than children who have a father in the home. 32 times more likely to run away. 20 times more likely to have a behavioral disorder. 14 times more likely to become sexually aggressive or commit rape. 10 times more likely to engage in drug abuse. It just breaks my heart. No heat, no judgment. You, to me, are the voice and the demonstration that's going to create a healing. In this world, we have got to do better.
Yeah. Y'all heard it right. Six fathers. 50 women. 87 children. That is the shit I've been talking about the entirety of the time I've been on air on Fat Life Station and prior to. So how are all black men going to be responsible for the actions of six men when nobody's asking about the accountability of the 50 women that continuously had children with these men? One of the brothers had 22 children. How are you five number 14 and 15 in that lineup? I'm trying to figure that part out. And then say, all black men ain't sugar, honey, iced tea. Because of the men you choose to have children with. Create a perpetual cycle of destruction. A perpetual cycle of destruction. There's nothing that gets better after this. These men can't possibly be in all these places. They're not hiding these children from these women. And a silly-minded bird that flocks to these men hear about the numbers, and all they can think about is how good the D must be. And then you have this particular situation pop up, right? Because we keep being told that black men aren't this and black men aren't that. And the celebrities believe that when they find a black, a non-black man to take their the saddle up, when they hit the jackpot. You already hear Halle Berry done had children with men that she said she should be paying child support to, because these men be randomly using the N-word around her. And most likely to her. Then we got Tamar Braxton and Jeremy Robbins. And Tamar Braxton was recently on Young Jock's podcast talking about her current situation, not being truthful and honest about her breakup with the attorney. I think he's an attorney by the name of Jeremy Robinson, the white guy. And the craziness about that is, when, you know, you hear from him, he basically he told the world that he broke up with that woman. And he couldn't tolerate the messiness, and he had to leave her alone. However, she wasn't quite as honest or as transparent. And now, these people's relationship, I don't expect them to be. Do you know that woman is currently living in and out of her car right now? Talking about Tamar Braxton. Her car was recently ransacked for the second time. She had a house that was broken into. And it's all on tape. And she's talking about how she doesn't feel safe and doesn't feel protected. Hey, sisters, I thought that black people were the only ones that don't provide protection and provision. Say that so. And when we have these conversations, y'all get quiet. You can hear a house kiss on cotton in that conversation room. And as y'all try to redirect and deflect and try to point the finger at brothers. And you know what's real disingenuous about this whole conversation is that it didn't become a gender war until about 3-4 years ago. Now we want balance. Now we want to have the conversation behind closed doors. But when we were asking, and I personally was asking, over the last decade, hey, sister, you lay down, you lighten up on, you know, the brothers ain't shit. You lighten up on the brothers and deadbeats. You lighten up on all the brothers, they ain't attracted to you, then they must be gay on a down low. Can we lighten up on the fact that if you don't like a man, that you don't attack his genitals? Can we lighten up on all the different types of verbal abuses and atrocity and gaslight that y'all do on social media because you think it's cute to show the world that you have a power to trigger your men? Can we lighten up on that just a little bit? Oh, no. We're tired of talking about this in the shadow. Sisters, you've never talked about this in the shadow. We can go back to video footage in the 60s where y'all were talking about the ways y'all disrespect black men and how black men want to take over the community. We're going to have to force y'all out. You go back to the 60s for that. It's footage. I'll play the footage on this show. You see, we don't deal with facts over here. And a lot of times, the fact, see, a lot of the feelings is what led to all these different things. And the fact that he's living the guy not for which and phone, you know, the white man is giving sisters the power to basically, you know, full supremacy over their own men. And now we see, I want a man that's going to stand up. I want a man that's going to be a leader. Y'all don't know how to respect and respond to that. This whole notion that a man is going to show up, and when he provides proper leadership, a woman will just naturally fall into femininity. Let me tell you something. That's bull. I've been with women in which when I exuded masculinity, which is all the time, I'm a man, they can't handle it. They can't deal with the structure. They chaos can't handle it. They self-sabotage the relationship. And because they really can't say anything wrong about the man, they go out and create innuendo rumors and try to sabotage that man's good name and character. And y'all don't address that. There's always a safe place. Especially, this is why I no longer identify with a lot of the black nationalists and pan-Africanists that used to see me around. Because there's always that place. Like, that's a gynocratic feeding, friends. Like, that's sort of like the gynocratic gravitron. You know, you want to talk about those places. That's why I love black people. I still think about ways to build a future for our children. I no longer associate with a lot of these cats, man. A lot of people you see, and a lot of people are connected through me, because networking is what I do. You've never seen a connection from the South, the Deep South, all the way up to the Eastern Corridor, the Northeast Corridor. You know, and a lot of that is my work. Don't worry, I take a bow for myself. I give myself a little call. But it's all steeped in misandry while calling everybody a misogynist. And that takes us to our dear sister, Ebony K. Williams, what I like to call the four seasons of Ebony Williams. We've seen her in four seasons, right? Now, Ebony K. Williams, will you be familiar, just like the gentleman that's here, Ebony K. Williams blew up, actually, off of an interview she did with Miala Valentine. And the notorious statement about the bus driver, she would only date a bus driver on the bus. She went on to double down with that, and she started encouraging black women to become voluntarily, what it was called, single mothers by choice. And that's what I want to get to earlier when I was talking about the fact that I'm not necessarily going to say these brothers that aren't in the picture again, because I think a lot of our women have children out of wedlock because they don't want to be under the authority of a man. And taking, especially if you're with me, you're under my authority. You represent me and I will protect you. That's how this works. And because they don't want to do that in our community has, since the 50s, there's been a sliding scale of marriageable people in our community. The demographic with the least amount of marriages under their belt currently is black women at about 26%. Black men slightly higher at 30%, but there are 200,000 more black men married. I think it's either 200,000 or 2 million. Somewhere between it. That's a big scale, but more black men married than black women. And which is odd because in America, there are literally 2 to 3 more million black women than men. So, but I bring this topic up because the single mother by choice, by using, going to the laboratory, getting semen and frozen eggs, you know, mixing it up like a nice child omelet. She sort of had a change of heart, and this is all like within like a 2 month span. So now, you know, she's out there telling young sisters. So now we're on season 3, y'all. She's telling young sisters that they, if they really want to get married, that they should marry men, college minded men, women who are in college, to marry college-aged men. That's the best place to go get those men. And that sounds terribly familiar to something, our dearly departed good brother Kevin Samuels was saying to women when they were calling to the show. How they blew their best opportunity to marry a man because college campuses were the place where they were in the same room at the same time with these men. That they would no longer have access to these men once these men branched out to the workforce. And that the odds would start being stacked against them once they removed themselves, once they aged out of their primary fertility zone, which is ages 22 to like 28. So, Kevin Samuels for help to that. They started calling them all kinds of derogatory terms. But let's analyze this for a second. I had a good brother that currently, he had to go, back to school. Well, he didn't have to, but he chose to go back to school. And he's currently in the classroom with a lot of the same women. And these women, you know, flock into this man, and he's basically telling them, you know, they have to explain to him about certain brothers. You see, y'all don't have access to those brothers because y'all never be in the same space with those brothers. And if you saw those brothers in person, they wouldn't have any reason to acknowledge you because you're not their lead. You're practically invisible to these brothers, which is a harsh reality for women because y'all think all y'all got to do is perk up your tits and put on some tight jeans. If you got a little booty, bash it for them. Y'all don't even have to take care of the gut. Right? And it was jaw dropping to them because he told them, he said, listen, the only people who have access to me is because we share a class together. Another jaw dropping moment. See, this is the type of stuff that the harsh truth and reality that we deal with while y'all live in a world of illusion. Thinking you still have access, well, I still got it, I look good. Listen, there's so many other factors other than your books that come into play. Ebony K. Williams, just based on aesthetics, is a beautiful woman. But her attitude is so bitchy that any man with self-respect wouldn't get within her with a 10-foot pole. And like the picture, even the pictures that she takes speaks to the bitterness in her heart. So, and to expound on that further, she was currently on the Breakfast Club. That's where, you know, when people want to spill misandry, that's where you go. And there was another young lady on the show. I don't remember the name. I think her name might have been Erica or something. It's really irrelevant. She's trying to be in her early 30s. She might have been 31. So she was offended by the whole get a man by college conversation that Ebony K. Williams was having. And Ebony K. Williams was real specific. Young lady I wasn't talking to. I'm talking to younger women. And not only was she not talking to younger women, she was talking to younger women on that Jack and Jill race circuit. Because she said something very interesting in that interview. She said, elite black families are having this conversation with their daughter. When you say elite black families, you're speaking bourgeois. All right? Not just bourgeois. You're speaking the archons, all right? You're speaking Sigma Pi Phi, all right? You're speaking the black effect. That's who you're talking about. And for those of you, look it up. Secret society. The black version of Skull and Bone. And just speaking to that, in the rich circle, well, they're not really rich, but they just have more money than the rest of them. And they have his secret handshakes and high wings and all this other stuff that, so they pretty much, they're the glass ceiling that keeps black people from breaking through and keeps us dealing in the muck, in the mud, and all this other stuff. So, that's who she's referring to. But in the conversation, somebody said, oh, you know, you sound like Kevin Samuel. And she said, I don't peddle in mediocrity. See, that was that Misandry coming back in. Because she's still bitter. But one of the reasons why, and shout out to BGS Hipmore for pointing this out on one of his shows. I love listening to BGS. One of the things he stated in a video breakdown of that interview in the Breakfast Club was that Ebony K. Williams for the first time had an epiphany. And her epiphany was the fact that in giving herself those injections to loosen up, you know, that progesterone wall that stiffens after the age of 35, well, actually after the age of 31 in most women, so that you can actually have children and not have so many failures, because the majority of women over 30 deal with a lot more critical issues health-wise when having children. That's why they call it geriatric pregnancy after 35. And doctors really recommend that women don't have children over 32. Like after the age of 32, it gets dicey. So Ebony K. Williams was talking about the fact she has to give herself those injections by herself in her stomach. And how it's a pain, excruciatingly painful experience, and the fact that she has to do it alone. And for the first time in her life, she truly, truly, truly missed having a man in her life. And I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I don't even think Ebony likes men. And I don't mean like how. Like, I don't think she sexually. And this is just my take on how she has such bitterness towards men, specifically black men, and specifically blue-collar men. I think that Ebony just does not like men. And y'all can take that however y'all want to take it. But I think she definitely has an issue with black men. For whatever reason, maybe she was a late bloomer, maybe she didn't get the guy that she wanted, or maybe the guy she wanted rejected her. Who knows? You watch Kendra, she has a pretty safe back. Shout out to Kendra. But whatever the situation is, the case may be, the callers calling into the show, the young lady, but basically say that first of all, that she was hurt because this truth hurt her. And the truth was so painful that she didn't want to hear it. That basically she passed up on her opportunity for the family. And she wants to have multiple children. And for some strange reason, women aren't looking this shit up. You would think that something that actually puts you within the brink of death. When you bring life into this world, it's the closest a lot of people will come to death. A lot of women will come to death prior to their last breath. And many women die on the operating table, especially black women. The mortality rate for black women giving birth far outweighs the dangers of, you know, the danger of doing it is far more dangerous than any other group of women on the planet. Because of the physiology of black women and the fact that most doctors are still in that archaic belief that black women don't feel pain or black people themselves don't feel pain. The whole school of gynecology was built on the fact that they would do crude experiments with black women back in the late 1800s and the early 1900s to figure out the ins and outs of a woman's reproductive system. And the women would scream and cry and the doctor would say, don't worry about it, she doesn't feel anything. And so that particular practice of treating black women like that happens to continue in the hospitals today, which is why you still need the protection of a man. You need a man to tell the doctor, yo, if something happened to her, something's going to happen to you. And see, for far too many of y'all going to learn far too late. It's too late to do anything about it. All you'll be cost me to tell you. Next generation of young women, hopefully they get it. The people were calling in, women were calling into the show, hey, I'm plus 40, and I was told not to make a man my priority, that men need to, you know, if God sees it, God will put a man in my path, and all this other bit. And for many of us, God has already put a man in their path, and they chose to bypass that man because they thought a better deal was coming down the pike. And all they've done, especially in these tough times that we're speaking of, has created a situation where women are carrying burdens they weren't designed to handle. You aren't designed to handle the rigors and the roughness of this world. You weren't designed to understand and see the dangers in this world. There was a video I just watched recently where a woman it was pointed out to her about a place that she lived and how dangerous it was to live, and at night certain things were happening. And she said, I could have, you know, I was in my happy place living here because it's such a beautiful place, and now I'm just terrified. And I could have, if I would have never known or heard of those things, I could have, you know, I would still be happy, go lucky. Now I live in fear and anxiety, and you don't understand. As men, we see those things that go bump in the night. We face those things that go bump in the night. We scare off those things that go bump in the night. And we do it with our bare hands, our bare claws, the heart that doesn't pump Kool-Aid to pump gasoline. 87 unleaded. And we keep trying to tell y'all, y'all ain't built for the rigors of the scariness of this place. And I see it now. I go to the supermarkets, it's nothing but women and children. I go to the department stores, it's nothing but women and children. I'm out and about, it's nothing but women and a gaggle of children. And the only thing keeping those children safe is the fact that other men happen to be in proximity of those women and children. We protect y'all when y'all don't even see it and know it. And you take it for granted because we do it selflessly. We rarely, all we ask for in return is an occasional smile and a thank you for holding the door. And most of y'all will write a whole goddamn book, do a whole study on why you should have to smile for us. You see, this is the place right now, in this pivotal time in history that you only read about. Biblical time. Where it was such a dark time in Lincoln. And you must know that places and spaces occupied by Europeans, which America is, often face hard falls of their empire. And when they do, the first casualties of that empire are the women and children. Do your research. We were just having a scholastic conversation about that earlier today in my office. Identifying the different gangs. You know, the Britons, the Slavs, you know, the Vandals, the Visigoths. All those things, all those names you have for horrific behavior are named after those different tribes in Europe. Because of the acts. And when they would go to war on the battlefield, when they won the war, the women and children were the spoils of war. And they got raped. That was the advent of rape culture. Far before this land of America was even present to anybody from the European peninsula. You see, in this society, in this world, people were meant to be together. People were meant to coincide side by side. There's a reason why a man has 23 chromosomes to offer to a woman's 23 chromosomes, which makes a combined total of 46 chromosomes, which then sparks life into the womb of a woman. There's a reason for that. It's because both parties are needed to bring life into this world. None of us were designed to not be in partnership, to not be aligned with another spirit in this plane, on this plane. But men can handle the pressure way more than the woman. Women crave socialization. Men do not. How often, ladies, have you been with your man? You say, baby, can we just go out somewhere, anywhere? I'm going to go dancing. I'm going to go eat dinner. Why? Because that man is perfectly fine sitting in front of his TV alone at home with you. All he cares about is your company. You're the one that wants to, needs to be in the presence of other people. So what happens when all of your girlfriends get met? You call them to hang out. Tamar Braxton found that out. Well, not Tamar Braxton, excuse me. Tia Myra found that out with her own sister. Your life is get altered in with. with her own sister. So I have to ask you, how cool are you with being alone? And especially when it gets cold outside, because the one season that Ebony K. Williams is dealing with right now, that's facing all of you, winter is no longer coming. Winter is here. And with winter being here, the men are tired of answering this question.
What more do you want from me?
With that said, family, hope you all enjoy your weekend. It's cuffing season. Have you found somebody to couple up with yet? So with that said, war and peace, family. As I always say, if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war. And with that said, I bid you all farewell. Peace and happiness from all the stops. I said.
It's the rock in the building. Khali. Right now. Pharrell in the house. Yes. Live from the United States, Brooklyn, New York, it's your boy. Yo. The nephews is in the house. As soon as the beat drop, we got the streets locked overseas. A Punjabi MC and the rock. I came to see the mommies in the spot. On the count of three, drop your body like it's hot. One, young, two, you. One, two, three, young hoes, a snake charmer. Move your body like a snake mama. Make me wanna put the snake on ya. I'm on my eighth summer. Still hot, young's the eighth wonder. All I do is get bread, yeah, I take wonder. I take one of your chicks straight from under your armpit. The black Brad Pitt. I'm act till 6 in the a.m. All day I'm P-I-M-P. I am simply attached to the track like Simply. It's simply good, young ho, infinitely hood. O.C. and you don't stop. Punjabi MC and you don't stop. Nigga N.Y.C. and we don't stop. It's the rock, it's the rock. R.O.C. and we don't stop. Punjabi MC and we don't stop. It's your boy Jay-Z and we don't stop. Nigga R.O.C. and we won't stop.